Evening, everyone.
Go ahead.
Are we good?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Today is Tuesday, May 18th, 7:05 p.m. This is a regularly scheduled monthly meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. Would you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ted Estwan.
Here.
Steve Jalowick.
Steve is excused this evening. He's out of his state.
David Kipchansky.
Here.
Raul Sanchez.
Here.
Albert Miskowitz.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick.
Ray is also excused. He's not going to be able to make the meeting this evening, from what he told me.
Okay. Gino DGM Bonnie.
Here.
Okay. Michael Fratarola. Dave Blitzman.
Okay, we'll move on to item number five, communications. Let the record show that I do not have any communications this evening. Item number six, public portion. Is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission at this time?
Tom Lionetti, 79 Sunset Drive, Derby. I just want to say to all the members to be very careful of this daycare center. I don't know, when I used to take my dog to Shapiro, there were many accidents coming out onto 34. And you're gonna have little kids there and traffic's gonna be, I don't know. Just be careful. I want all business to come to Derby, but this is very dangerous. Just make sure that the police, fire department, everybody is okay with it before you guys say yes. That's all I gotta say, thank you.
Okay, is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public?
Hi, Sarah Wadomsky, 95 Academy Hill Road. I was just wondering if there is an update or timeline as to when the plantings and landscaping in front of the Home Depot that was approved will begin.
That's a good question, because I was going to ask that this evening, because I'll address that now, because I found out from City Hall that when the Home Depot manager was approached, he said that work was supposed to begin within the week. That was 2 weeks ago. I haven't seen anything happening yet, and the grass is overgrown. They haven't even bothered to cut the grass there yet, or the weeds, or whatever's there. So I'd like to direct our engineer to send a letter to Home Depot Corporate asking when they're going to begin planting, since they're approved already and we approved the planting plan. We don't want to miss another planting season.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, this is Gino DiGiovanni. I was just at Home Depot and I saw the company, I believe it was Net, that we okayed the plantings. I saw four or five trucks there and they were cutting the grass. Just to let you know, obviously we don't know if they're going to be doing the plantings, but there are representatives from the company there as we speak, working on the lawn part of it.
That's good to know, Gino, because at about 2 o'clock this afternoon, there was nobody there.
Correct. And I was there a few times today too.
Mr. Chairman, when's the planting season over for the spring?
Ryan?
I'd have to consult our landscape architects on that question. I'm not exactly sure, but I would add that I did discuss the matter with Kaisha Good, who was with NELTS, the applicant, and she told me that the plans are scheduled for delivery on Monday. So she expects that they'll begin as early as next week.
Dave, good enough?
Well, and how long do you think it'll take for that planting program to?
I don't know.
Ryan.
I would hope. I would hope if they're delivered on Monday, they would start planting right away. They wouldn't just let them sit there. I would assume.
I hope so. Yep.
Okay, we could just watch it again today at 2 o'clock. They were doing nothing at Home Depot, and Gino said just before he got onto the meeting, they were assembled to cut the grass, and they're doing something. So, you know, it'll be something that we're going to keep an eye on, I'm sure.
They do have a beautiful crop of dandelions there, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, very nice. Very good for dandelion salad, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public? Okay, public portion closed. We'll move on to approval of minutes of the 4/20/21 meeting. I moved that we table that until next month. I did get the minutes from Karen. I did not send them out to the commission members to review before the meeting. That was my error, my fault. So I moved that we table that until next month. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, receipt of applications. Luna Lyman Nature Preschool, 189 New Haven Avenue, site plan application for a child daycare center. Okay, move that we accept the application and put it on the agenda for next month.
Mr. Chairman, it requires a public
hearing. Yes, it does. Okay, put it on for a public hearing for next month. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, 9, new business. Beyond Yoga Center, LLC, 1 Park Avenue, site plan application for the yoga center. Is there somebody from the yoga center who would like to address the commission at this time?
Actually, before you begin, Linda, Barbara, your phone's giving us some feedback. So can you mute your phone?
Okay.
Thank you.
They're not real good on technology. Thanks, Ryan. Go ahead, Linda, if you would like to address the commission at this time.
I just want to say thank you very much for accepting my application. And I also have Rick Barton here as well to answer questions if you have any. He's the realtor who's been talking to the owner of One Park Avenue. But other than that, I'm just grateful to be here.
Okay, Ryan, have you done your review of the application? Did you have time to do the review?
It's very simple, Mr. Chairman. This is a permitted use in the MDD zone, and the real, you know, only zoning related matter was a parking analysis to determine the impact that this business may have on available parking on the parcel. And based on the information provided by the applicant's surveyor, I feel pretty comfortable that the available parking both on this parcel and the shared parking with St. Vincent de Paul that They meet the regulations.
Thank you, Ryan. Any questions from any commission members?
Ryan, is there a shared parking agreement?
I'll direct that to Rick Barton. Would you happen to know if the shared parking agreement is on the land records, or is it just easement across shared driveway?
Are you guys able to hear me?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, I have the comfort of the owner of the Dewdrop. Pardon me. I have the comfort of the owner of the Dewdrop that there is allowance to utilize the space. He was thorough in pointing out that he also does have an arrangement in place on a limited extent for limited purposes with the other Bad Sons.
Mr. Bird, I think we're referring not to the Dewdrop parking lot, but to the St. Vincent de Paul, where they have a shared driveway, One Park Avenue in the St. Vincent de Paul building.
Okay.
And there seems to be no issue, no resistance, no real concern with regard to the use that's intended here with Ms. Braun's yoga studio, and ownership is all on board with making that happen.
Okay.
Any other questions, Dave?
That wasn't my question. My question is, do they have an agreement with St. Vincent de Paul?
Well, Dave, I believe that there's a shared driveway easement. And I think, you know, I believe that, well, there's certainly parking spaces that are shared jointly between the properties. In fact, the property line split several of the parking spaces. So if it's a matter of concern on your end, we can put as a stipulation that a shared parking agreement be put in place between St. Vincent de Paul and One Park Avenue to formalize that which exists.
I think that's what the regulations ask for.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions from any commission members? Any questions from commission members? With that, I did have a motion drafted. Okay. Just because it's pretty straightforward. City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, with the following stipulated conditions, any modifications to the above reference drawing shall be submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission for review. All proposed signage shall be reviewed by the Derby Enforcement Officer for compliance with Derby zoning regulations. The building official shall not issue any building or zoning permits on the lots until the city finance director has verified that all fees have been paid in accordance with the City of Derby Ordinance Section 85-3. The approval shall be based upon the following documents submitted in support of this application. Application with statement of use, plan entitled Site Plan Zoning Location Survey, plan depicting floor space updated and drawn at an unknown scale, testimony from the applicant at the regularly scheduled meeting, letter of consent from the owner, and that there is a shared parking agreement that will be filed in place. That's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Congratulations, Linda. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. 9B, Derby
Avenue.
Thank
you very much for your time, folks.
Thanks, Rick. Derby Avenue LLC, 25 New Haven Avenue, site plan application for a U-Haul business. Is there somebody from the applicant who would like to address the commission at this time? Is there somebody from the applicant? I just want to make a note that looking at this property now, it's covered with dirt piles. It's in no way, shape, or form ready for this application. I would have been surprised if they were here this evening to use it to park U-Haul trucks to rent. I don't see where they can do that because it was a perfectly paved parking space that is now covered by mounds of dirt. It looks like they're using it for the replacement of the fuel tanks at the service station. So, you know, there's nobody here from the applicant to address the commission at this time. So I move that we table it until next month. We'll give another opportunity to show up.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah, Dave,
are we going to get an updated site plan?
I would hope so. You know, that's why I moved to table it till next month and not take any action at all, just because we'll give them the other month to get an updated site plan, somebody to address the commission and see what their intentions are, because right now it's just to store dirt as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Well, I mean, even the site plan that they submitted, Mr. Chairman, right, really didn't have any information at all.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
So in my review letter, I did note that. Basically, to start this application process or pre-application process, I provided them with some historical mapping that was used as part of the Kelly Mart approval. And their application just regurgitated that same information. And I suggested that they reach out to the surveyor who prepared that map, Fred D'Amico, to update it to reflect the current site conditions, to show where they're planning on parking U-Haul vehicles, demonstrate compliance with zoning regulations, and also to handle runoff from the parking lot, because it was paved. Historically, it was a gravel or dirt lot, and right, they paved it without a site plan approval. So they will have to handle probably a minor amount of change in runoff from a gravel parking lot to a paved parking lot, but I do want them to address that as part of this application as well.
And we don't have anything back from that, correct?
Okay. Right.
Okay. I move that we table it until next month, give another shot at this, and then we can make our decision at that time based on the facts that we have. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Aye. Okay, we'll move on to item number 10A, old business, CEO update. Drew, you want to take this one?
Sure. So happy to report to the board that we have hired a new CEO, ZWEO, is handling wetlands as well. We are very excited about this individual. The young lady couldn't join us tonight, unfortunately. I hope to introduce you to her, but she has graduated with honors from Virginia Tech. She has a really deep interest in land use, and she's going to be cutting her teeth on the zoning wetlands part of Derby, and then hopefully moving on to maybe being a bigger part of our land use operation moving forward. But we're going to invest in her education through KZO to get her zoning enforcement certification, as well as her wetland certification. She's coming in Friday for a quick orientation, and she starts officially on the first week of June. I want to say, don't quote me on the day, but I want to say it's June 2nd, or maybe it's June 6th. I'm getting confused between June and July. It is June 2nd. Yes, or maybe it's June 1st. I don't have the letter in front of me, but she's on board and we're excited about her.
Thanks, Roy. I appreciate the update.
No problem. Thank you guys for your patience. I know it hasn't been easy having to deal with just Ryan. I'm just kidding. Ryan's been doing a great job. Ryan's doing a phenomenal job, and I have to thank him publicly for his assistance with things that are way outside of his normal scope. So thank you, Ryan.
Drew, did you mention to her that she'll be getting her initiation by fire?
I have a list of very fun things for her to take a look at, including but not limited to all the detention ponds and basins where she's going to need police escorts to go out there.
I don't know what you're paying her, but she'll be asking for a raise within 1 week.
More, for sure, no doubt.
Okay, thanks, Drew. I appreciate it. Yeah, Dave, she's been alerted that it's trial by fire.
Great. I'm sure Ryan will be her.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. We'll move on to item number 10B, PDD subcommittee. Is there any updates yet, or is it still in subcommittee?
Mr. Chairman, I have with us Ryan McDermott and Liz Esposito, planners from SLR Consulting. We've worked with the subcommittee consisting of Dave Kay, Al Mizowitz, and Steve Jalowick. And in your packet tonight, we do have an outline of the decisions or the guidance that we've given the subcommittee and that they've given us. And with that, I think I'd like to turn it over to Vince and Liz to give the whole commission an update on where we stand, and we can discuss where it goes from here.
Thanks, Ryan. Hi, Ted.
Hi, Vince. It's been a long time, Vince.
I thought it would be appropriate for Dave or Al, since they are the committee members, to at least start this discussion, and then we can pick it up. Liz got into this a couple of weeks ago because some of you had been working with Rebecca Auger, and Rebecca went on to Greener Pastures. So she thinks, and Liz is stepping up into the role that Rebecca served. So I really think Dave and Al, if you feel comfortable, that you should do it.
I'll start, Vince, but I was kind of hoping that you would start so I could correct you if you were wrong.
Dave, that was, you've been doing that for years, Dave, so it doesn't matter.
No. Ted and commission members, we had spent three meetings going through various PDD regulations. Vince and Ryan were kind enough to supply us with the PDD regulations from six different municipalities, and they were all quite different from one another, but there was a lot of commonalities between them. I think, and Albert, correct me if I'm wrong, I think each one of these PDD regulations was pointed to a specific goal that the town was looking to reach in terms of development. And, you know, as an example, Orange, they have a PDD zone. Their PDD zone was really directed towards multifamily, age-restricted housing in a very specific neighborhood in Orange. Newtown was one of its towns. Their PDD zone was really directed towards a historic district and their downtown area with specific type of development that they wanted to see there. Simsbury was a town that I was kind of impressed with their application, because it seemed like what they were trying to attain was something that we might try to attain, and that was doing mixed-use development with a commercial component and, of course, a residential component. And as Vince was, you know, kind enough to direct us, is that developers today are looking for a residential component in any type of development, because, you know, that's the hot ticket right now, and commercial's not. So we're kind of in a situation here, because we're 90-95% developed with our land. You know, we're not like Shelton. Shelton has their own PDD zone regulation, and it really has taken advantage of the open space that they have in Shelton and opportunities for various types of developments. We kind of decided on a couple of things. One, we wanted to place a real emphasis on adaptive reuse of existing properties which are in a non-residential zone. And that being like old commercial buildings, old industrial buildings that have sat vacant or underutilized for many years and can be converted into a mixed use. You know, we could have some residential, and hopefully we're going to have some commercial there. And we're pretty liberal in terms of where we're going to allow PDD, where we would like to see PDD take place. And that would be in all non-residential zones within the city of Derby. Okay. And we felt that we needed to protect residential zones from this, because first of all, we're really not experienced with PDD regulations. We don't know we're going to wind up with this. And we certainly don't want to disrupt existing longstanding residential zones in the city. And number two, I think that's where we have our best opportunities to create something that is new. It's currently not permitted by permitted use or special exception use in the city. And we could kind of take a shot at it, much as we've done with the residential units that we approved downtown. Okay, so I think that this is a pretty ambitious start that we would be taking with a PDD zone in Derby. We have to, obviously, we have an outline for it, but we need to put some controls and some guardrails on this. And I think our last discussion, Albert, that we had really was about that, you know, how we want to limit certain things within the PDD zone. We want to be flexible, but on the other hand, we don't want to be disruptive. I think this is a pretty good start. And, you know, hopefully all the commission members are going to have an opportunity to look at this closely and tell us what they think. So, Albert, would you like to add something?
No, Dave, I think you're doing a great job being more or less a spokesman there. Like you said, we want to not limit ourselves, but we also want to make sure that's beneficial to the town with whatever application comes in. So that's the main point.
You know, I'll say that our biggest discussion, members, is about in our statement of use, or our statement of purpose, I should say, how much emphasis that we wanted to place on applications that are beneficial to the tax base of the city of Derby. As you know, we have a dearth of taxable property. We have lots and lots of non-taxable property in the city. And I would hope that we could use this PDD regulation to encourage and to spur and to really place an emphasis on tax-producing properties.
One of the things that was discussed as Dave just started as a component of when you're evaluating an application is the requirement for having a fiscal impact analysis. It isn't the be all and end all, but it certainly could be a driver as to whether or not a proposed use in a PDD as a PDD is economically important to the community. It's not the only driver because there are some uses that may also have public benefit that you might like to see for a variety of other reasons. So it wouldn't be the deciding factor, but certainly something that you may wish to consider rather than something that would have an adverse impact on it. The other part of this is that we wanted to and is to utilize the infrastructure that you now have in the city, the utilities, the road capacity, and so on, rather than pushing out into other areas, and then also include sustainable development techniques, low impact design, stormwater management issues, and other environmentally sensitive things. So those are the broad boundaries, if you will, that from which the regulations would derive. So then continuing though, as a process, the committee envisioned, it's an amendment to the zoning map accompanied by a master plan. So it's a two-step process. Somebody might want to take a gamble and do it as a big one-step process, but that's a bit broad. So the zoning map and the master plan for the site in a PDD becomes essentially the regulation for the development of that site. Rather than relying or writing a whole bunch of regulations, this is the alternative, so to speak, of the underlying zone. So then after a master plan, then with an approval of that, there would then be a detailed site plan using your standard review criteria and other review criteria that might be developed. But here's something else that you need to consider. Oftentimes, I'll give you a great example of one. In New Milford, a number of years ago, somebody came up with a great PDD and the zoning commission loved it. But when it came down to the nuts and bolts, it was economically not viable. Therein lies right now that property zoned as, it's not called a PDD, but another zone. And that's what can be occur on the site. And until somebody unzones or reverts back to the underlying zone, there it sits idle. So we would certainly want, and mostly all of the regulations that the subcommittee examined had a reversion so that if it wasn't completed within a date certain, you had the authority without the applicant's consent to rezone with no repercussions back to you. So go back to the underlying zone.
Vince, is that something the commission that you thought about has needs to act upon? Or is that something that automatically has a limit or a time limit where if you don't do X within X amount of years, it reverts back to the zone?
You would have to take an affirmative action of your own volition revert back. But there are some people, Ted, who would argue that you don't have the authority. You would be down zoning somebody's property and therefore you would be liable for loss of value. This automatically would give you that authority. Some would argue you have that anyway, but this just makes it clear that you have that authority to not allow a project that looked great on paper, turned out not to be good for the applicant.
Agreed.
And bring it back to where it was. So Vince, no harm, no foul.
Vince, I think we might have that provision in our existing PDD zone regulation down.
I think you may as well.
You probably wrote it. That's what.
Well, Chris Smith wrote it. Then we added to it.
Yeah.
The applicability, the way the committee is now looking at it, established in any zone except the residence district. I think, and there was a lot of discussion about this, and I think that you need to, as a group, give direction to the subcommittee as to whether or not that would be appropriate. No minimum lot size. So anything goes, you're not limiting it to big properties, although.
It's a blank sheet of paper. It's basically come before the commission and present your plan and let's see if it's feasible and if it works.
And remember, it's a zone change. So you have authority to say no.
Right, exactly. It's a zone change. So you can say no. You know, it might be the greatest thing since sliced bread, but if it doesn't fit, you can say no.
Right. And then, of course, as with anything, you would be evaluating the adequacy of public facilities. And then we would set some general review criteria. And the suggestions are obviously consistency with the POCD principles, not necessarily the map illustrate that the POCD illustrates, but the principles in the POCD, the fiscal impact analysis, the ratio of commercial to residential. We had a good discussion about this a number of years ago.
Let me ask you another question, Vince, and for Al and Dave. Appealability, because we just brought up a situation, if you just said no, because it's a zone change, the appealability.
You win.
Okay, done. All right. I want to protect the town.
Yeah. See, remember, on a zone change, the commission has its own legislative authority to approve or not approve. And that's in a sense, the beauty of a PDD, because you're layering other stuff in here that would give you, it's a little different from a standard zone change where somebody comes in and says, oh, I want to do industrial and it's residential. And you can say no or yes, but here it's designed to enable something to occur, but for you to have the ultimate authority to say, yes, this is good for the city, or no, we don't like this. Somebody could take an appeal if they would like, but the success of that is pretty low. The other thing is, and I think this is important, and Dave alluded to it about the mixed use. If there is a mixed use proposal, you want to be able to have the ability to control the timetable. Residential is the low hanging fruit. The non-residential is what you're looking for from a rateable, from a fiscal impact perspective, right? So you don't want somebody to get ahead of you on the residential and then say, oops, I want something else, more residential. So when Avon Village, the center of Avon, which is under development now, when we worked with them, we said you could only go so far with your residential before you had to make sure you had a proportionate of non-residential included in the project. So you were approving it, but timing is everything. And so, you know, there's the ability to control that. You would start looking at, you know, where it is it connected to transportation and so on? So any activity close to the rail station may be you may look more favorably on that than others. Anyway, so we've listed a whole bunch of stuff that would be the criteria that, and you may come up with a lot of others, criteria that you would consider when evaluating. So it isn't totally out of the blue. We don't like the color of that person's sailboat and you deny it. There are some real criteria and evaluation and thoughtful about evaluation that you'd go through.
Let me ask a question, and this is to the subcommittee members. Has any, I applaud you for all your work and all your hard work and rolling up your sleeves to get this done, because I think it's something that's long needed. And I agree with you on protecting the residential zone, the meat of Derby, and because we have a lot of non-residential commercial zone that this can be applied to. What about transitional zones? Has any was any of their talk in the transitional zone, the zone that abuts against a commercial zone that leads into a residential zone at all? And if it was left out, just why? Was there any talk of that at all?
Well, each one of our zones, Ted, is, you know, pretty much cast in stone. We don't have transitional zones between residential and non-residential.
Right.
We have, I think, 7 residential zones in the city of Derby, and they're all zoned, you know, going from R1 through R6 to RM. Okay, those are all residential zones, and I think that's what we meant by leaving those zones out.
Which I think is a great idea.
Yeah. Every other zone that we have in Derby may abut a residential zone, but we didn't treat those differently. Maybe we should.
I'm just asking the question because you guys rolled up your sleeves right to get involved in this. So I'm just saying, if there's issues that can be controlled where we have a transitional zone where we don't want to necessarily change a zone because you don't want all that stuff to be either permitted or by special exception a zone, and it might be grandfathered in, and you want to treat it, the city might want to do something with that and allow certain things to happen, but want control. The city wants control and not giving up control. And do we treat, if you give a PDD to someone, does that flow with the zone or does that revert back if it's sold? How do we protect?
No, it runs with the land.
Got it, okay.
Now, Ted, I think you bring up a good point. And the subcommittee, you know, as the commission and the subcommittee proceeds, may need to look at it more carefully. If there were a situation that where abutting,
yeah,
adjoining a non-residential property, where a PDD would make sense, how? For a variety of reasons, I don't know what they are, but for a variety of reasons, how would the commission want to address that? Do you want to use a PDD as a transition?
Well, that's why I'm asking, because I would prefer to have control over just letting someone apply for a zone change because they can say, well, it's contiguous with this commercial zone in front of me. Why can't I treat it the same? I'd like to be able to have control over that and what gets done there, as opposed to giving it to the landowner or whoever owns the land after that.
I think,
I just don't know how to address that.
Yeah, there are a couple of ways. And so I think as a subcommittee, we'll have to think about how, instead of having that hard line, so to speak, having a softer line as a transition.
Okay,
and just
a question I'm asking because I haven't been involved. So I'm just asking the questions. Has it been thought of? Has it been ruled out? And why, if it needs to be discussed further? Because they're doing a great job with, I'm looking at what's in front of me. That's a fabulous job.
I think it's worth further discussion. Because I can envision some places in Derby where this might work.
Okay.
I think Dave and Albert and we can take a look at that and maybe constrain it a little bit so it doesn't get out of hand.
Control should be in the city's hands always.
Yep, always.
Okay, that's why I'm asking the question. I don't want to give up any of that control.
Right.
That's all. But I think they've done a great job here because there's some instances where someone could apply for this and I could see it happening tomorrow. If it's passed, you know, I can see a use for this type of regulation right away. Something the city wants to see, something that the applicant will want to see, and it's kind of a joint venture, so to speak.
Right.
But the control is with us.
So the next steps here through the subcommittee is to begin to flesh out a real regulation. Where does it fit in? And put some meat on the bones of this outline. And that's going to take a little bit of effort on their part. And then because it would be a regulation, did we decide that it was a regulation that would, could affect properties adjacent within 500 feet of the town line? I don't remember. Do you remember,
Dave? There's no change, would have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if that's the case, then yes, it would. Yeah. Of course, it would up against Ansonia and down in Orange.
Yeah.
So it would have to go through the normal regulation adoption procedure.
Yes.
With normal referrals to the to the Valley Cog and Scrog and so on.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little effort, and what I would envision the committee is doing a draft. For and then full discussion with the board, your entire commission with a draft, and then refinements. I'm looking at Al and Dave here, but I think that's the process.
Okay. Thanks, Vince.
Thanks a lot, Vince.
Oh, you guys are great.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Al. Great. Appreciate all the hard work.
We'll be back to you guys.
And Elizabeth, too.
Thanks, Liz. Yes,
yeah, you're going to see, you'll see more of Liz.
Got it.
Yeah.
She's not moving west, is she? She's going to stay put?
Okay. Same put.
Beautiful.
Hey, Ted, what's that background of your...
hey, that's St. Pete Beach in Florida. That's the backyard of my friend's house in Florida. He's about five houses from the Don Cesar.
Oh, have you seen the Don Cesar recently?
No, I have not. Not in a few years.
Oh. It's gone through a major transition.
Really?
Yeah, very positive.
I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, guys.
Thanks, Vince. I appreciate it. Thanks, Liz.
See you.
Thanks for having us.
Bye. Take care. Okay. Thanks for the update, folks. We'll move on to 10C status as detention basins. We're anxiously awaiting with bated breath our new ZWEO to come on board, trial by fire, and then we can move forward with that.
I will endeavor to work with Drew and the new CEO to perform site inspections and provide memoranda of our findings that she will then be able to reach out to try to organize some maintenance.
Okay. All right, I brought this up at the last meeting and I'm gonna bring it up again so we're all thinking about it. I could see us addressing the status of detention basins, okay, where it flows around particularly Two Mile Brook. What is our recourse in dealing with like a Two Mile Brook that, and I'll say it, that flows under a Big Lots, and to go in there and inspect it, that there's no blockage that sends it back upstream, that it doesn't flow all the way through. Do we have any recourse? Can we inspect it? It's private property. I understand that it's not a detention basin, but those are thoughts that should go into this whole process. We can't just look at the basins because when they empty, they go somewhere. And if that's blocked, it doesn't do anybody any good to inspect the basins. So that's why I'm bringing it to everybody's attention now. Don't forget that.
You know, well, let me point out one thing, Chairman, on that. Those projects on Route 34, they were actually approved by a planning commission back in the day. Okay, and the day was the early 70s. The Board of Aldermen acted as the Planning and Zoning Commission, or Planning Commission and separate Zoning Commission in those days. There may be minutes in those meetings that spells out the obligation of the property owners in terms of these streams which they pipe through their property. So, the research has to go a little bit deeper, Ryan, you know, into the town clerk's records there, trying to check out what those minutes, it's unbelievable how much information that you will find in those minutes. But in fact, the owners of those property may have already obligated to take care of those streams. And it's just a matter of the owners today being reminded of the fact that they have responsibility to maintain those streams, even if they run underneath their buildings. I find it hard to believe that the Alderman, even back in the late 70s, wouldn't have addressed that. So that's your
We don't know, Dave. It's the land of the unknown.
Well,
it really is.
You look
you would hope that those issues were addressed, but we all remember Charlie's Pond. It's gone.
No, I know that. And it was the plan, it was the Board of Aldermen that allowed that to happen.
It's gone.
Okay.
Okay.
But the stream is not.
Right. Exactly. Okay. I just wanted to bring that up. Jacob's update. Drew, is there anything you can say?
I can just say that we have a meeting scheduled next week that we're optimistic about. And that's next day. So.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Item number 11, payment of bills. Motion to pay bills if deemed correct. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to adjourn. Goodbye, everybody. Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank
Teddy.
You very much. You. Dave, Al, thank you very much for, again, for your time and effort.
Thanks,
on this.
Al,
on this
Ryan,
meeting.
Thank you,
I appreciate
Dave.
It. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye now, folks.
7:50 p.m.